That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you this snowy morning. Here it is, almost the end of the calendar year 2019, December 28th, 2019. And good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim, out in icy Nebraska.
Good morning.
And we do say again, good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. We are in winter time. And there is no doubt about it. When you look outside, it's not quite sun up out here this morning, but it's got snow started about 11 o'clock last night, and that's what it's supposed to do in the wintertime. So we're thankful for that. We do want to welcome you here. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and we've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and the phone lines will be open shortly if you have a question or comment. But as we recommend to you, we start out with a word of prayer. We've started out this day with prayer, and we're going to start this program out with prayer as well, and so we hope that you've done the same thing. And Jason, we'll ask you if you would lead us off on that, sir.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we cry out to you, O Lord Jesus, save us from the hands of our enemies and those that hate us, those that seek to destroy us, Father. We ask that we may be a pleasing in your sight, that we may be a blessing to others, and ask that you just continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do. Bless our hands, that we may labor in your fields, Father, and that we may be pleasing before your sight. We pray and we put on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We shod our feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints that are across this land, and we pray, Father, that you just use us in a mighty and powerful way, that we can be a light into this dark world, Father, and that we can share the gospel with your people, Father, and that you give us the words to speak when we're supposed to speak, and close our mouths and help us to know when to be silent. We pray, Father, that you deliver us from the hands of our enemies and those that seek to destroy us and to just be havoc in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yes, amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, if you have a question or a comment, and many people celebrate Christmas, many people in the ministry don't, so either way, that's behind us. And I didn't know if you saw, Hobby Lobby once again took out full page ads in many print newspapers around the country proclaiming Christ the Lord and talking about the reason for the season. And we've done it, we've seen them do it this before, and we've shared the ads with you before, Remnant, from the church pulpit to kind of let you see what they do if you didn't see the ads. Hobby Lobby did it again this year, and I think it shows that the owners of Hobby Lobby, they are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. They are not ashamed of the gospel. And that, do they have it all figured out? Well, none of us do. But they're doing what they can. If you've been in the stores, you know, they are. They're a Christian organization. And I think that's important for us to remember. They aren't ashamed of Jesus, and they do what they can. You know, they might be able to reach people that we can't. We might be able to reach people or to do things that they can't. But I think that they are a good example of that. They do what they can. They can't afford to take full page ads out in the big print newspapers, which is quite expensive. And so they do that, and they run their business from a Christian perspective, and I just thought that was interesting and encouraging to see that that they have kind of stood by their guns, so to speak, and done that. Didn't know if you guys had seen that or not, but
yeah, I saw that. That was, yeah, that was good. And this year was, you know, one of those years that there was actually more stores closed on Christmas than there has been, I think they said, in you know, last 8 or 10 years. You know, the King Supers that was normally open and Walmart that was normally open limited hours on Christmas this year out here, they were closed. And I want to encourage people, if people don't know, you know, Pastor Dad did a great message on looking, it's called Looking at Christmas. And, you know, it explains, you know, what Christmas is, and that this, the Christmas Day was the time of year when Christ was conceived. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that I know, they say, oh yeah, we don't celebrate Christmas, we don't celebrate Christmas. Well, you know, if you don't celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, you have, I mean, the birth of Jesus Christ was the beginning, as John pointed out in a message 2 weeks ago at church. And, you know, it was, if you don't have Christ, then you don't have a Savior. And if you don't have a Savior, then you don't have salvation. And, you know, it's, that message that Dad put together looking at Christmas puts a lot of stuff together. And, there's a lot of stuff in there that a lot of people don't know. I mean, they're just, you know, programmed to, oh, it's a pagan holiday. Well, if that's the way you want to look at it, I mean, you're free to believe what you want to believe, but that was the time when Christ was conceived and brought into the earth, and that is something we're celebrating. So, you know,
absolutely.
Years ago, he did another series of messages, and it was, you know, how they tried to take everything away from saying Merry Christmas. I mean, there's people that, you know, there was an attack on saying Merry Christmas. And they wanted you to say happy holidays, and you know, nobody could say, and people were offended when you said Christmas, and it was because there was Christ in Christmas. And you know, it's programming of the enemy to bring that happy holidays, you know, where you can't say Christmas anymore, bring it in. And it was another attack against Christ. So, you know, people need to think about that as well.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
I noticed that here in Laramie, too, like you said, about the more stores being closed. The grocery stores were closed, which normally they are not. Normally they are, you know, it's that almighty dollar that they search for, that they do whatever they can. And so it did. It seemed like a little a different spirit, a different thought in the land.
Yeah, there was. And it was. Yeah, interesting, and there was even a lot of places that were closed the day after Christmas and had limited hours on Christmas Eve. It was, you know, stuff like that hasn't happened in the past, and there was just a different time of year. And it was interesting because a lot of people just said that they had a hard time getting into the Christmas spirit and that Christmas seemed different this year. And it was kind of interesting because, like, the end of, you know, Thanksgiving usually starts the beginning of the Christmas season, and Thanksgiving being so late in the year, I don't know if that's what it was, but it made for an off year for everybody. But they decided, you know, I mean, usually they'd be wanting to get that last, you know, that last dollar sold, and they're open. These stores, Walmart and King Supers and Safeway and stuff, would be opened on you know, limited hours on Christmas, and usually they close early. And this year they just said, you know, we're just closing down. So
right.
Kind of weird how some of that stuff works from year-to-year basis.
Yeah, I noticed this year one of the things that just really was prevalent was, and I heard multiples of them on the radio, was commercials from local businesses that were expounding the reason for the season and the baby Jesus' birth.
Yes.
I mean, you know, right or wrong, but there was a lot of upbeat advertising on that, you know, the Lord bless us in the coming year, and a year or two ago, there weren't any of those commercials on the radio. So I just thought that was really an uplifting scenario there. I don't know whether the radio wouldn't advertise a couple of years ago with that, or whether there was no one there who wanted to do it. But it was uplifting, I thought. So, you know, people wishing a Merry Christmas and you know, remember the reason for the season and I heard Jesus mentioned more than once on. On a couple of non-Christian radio stations, so it was. I just was like, it made me smile and made me say, "Well, thank you, Lord."
Amen.
You know, there's a.
Amen. It's like there's hope yet. You know, there's hope yet. All is not lost. It's not. It's sometimes it's dark and gloomy, and sometimes, boy, that light just shines right through. And I know what you mean, Tim. You would hear that at different times. The local country station, flipping through the stations here, I heard that more than once. That, you know, they were running ads from churches and it was encouraging. It was encouraging. Kind of shifting gears. Didn't know if you saw overseas. You know, about 3 years ago, Britain voted to leave the European Union, and they coined the term Brexit, meaning Britain exiting. And they voted to do it, but it wasn't just an automatic. You know, they voted to put things in motion, and so the final vote just came up, and I think it's Boris Johnson is the prime minister now, and it continued. Here it is, 3 years later. And it did pass just this past week. And so it's, once again, Brexit is a go. They put the things in place that they've had to, and the vote in Parliament was overwhelming for the exiting of the European Union. And almost forming, not forming a new country, but certainly a new outlook on things. And so I think this next year is going to be quite interesting in regards to that. I know it's going to be busy for those over in Britain. Again, not rebuilding, but restructuring maybe. Maybe that's the term. As they are stepping away from the I want to say the handcuffs of the European Union, and having those in, I think it's in Brussels, telling them how they're going to run things. Now, Britain's in a mess, you know, from having a Muslim mayor to more knife attacks because they've outlawed guns, and so now they use knives, and now they're talking about outlawing knives, and it certainly that they are in a mess. But it was encouraging to see that this Brexit is a go, that they have once again their leaders have voted to continue to get out of the European Union.
Yeah, that is, and it's, you know, it's gonna have that cattle effect too. It's once they break, they're gonna be a lot harder to control. So it'll be interesting, that's for sure.
Amen. I think some of their leaders are waking up to the mass invasion that they've had, and the horrible impact it's had on their economy and on their the people's status, the crime that's increased, and the horrible impact that this unchecked migration invasion has had on their country, from social services to it's unsafe. It's unsafe. And here, just a few weeks ago, we were talking about how they were having riots in Paris, and how the Eiffel Tower, all the subways and everything for miles around it had shut down, and it kind of tied in. Jason, you brought earlier in the year about the farmers protesting in France, how they were driving their tractors in and in different parts of Europe, but especially in France. Even there, it seems like the people are waking up. This last round of protests were protesting the government putting everybody's pension in one big pot. And so whether you were whether you drove a garbage truck or whether you were a doctor or anything in between, the state handled your pension, and it was going to be all the same, and just more socialism being crammed down their throats. And the people were protesting, 800,000 in some cities that were out protesting this. And so it is, it's I have to think that the people are waking up to this, the false promises that these socialist governments have promised, and they're seeing that it, you know, all is not well in Mudville, so to speak, I just hope that that's what it is, that they are waking up to it before it's too late, and when they wake up to these physical things, I hope, I pray, I do see that it's a predecessor to waking up to the spiritual things. It's part of the process, and I think that we're seeing that here in this country as well. That when the people wake up to the physical, whether it's the physical afflictions or the physical things that the enemy's doing, that it's part of the process to waking up spiritually. To who they are, to what they are to be doing as Christians in a Christian nation. Even if it's returning to being Christians and changing the nation back to being a Christian nation for the blessings of God, and realizing those things.
I think, there's a lot of those words in the media and in people's minds lately about nationalists and socialists, and these words go on, and the examples are so pointed all around us, all around the world. If we look at it, we look at Venezuela, we see that, and they don't. Venezuela's dropped out of the news completely. It's got an inflation rate of 10,000,000%. I mean, they're literally using their money to make arts and crafts. A liter of milk, which, by the way, is not a gallon, takes a third of someone's wages, or up to a third of their wages, just to buy a liter of milk. This is a country that has the largest known oil reserves in the world. I mean, when we look at these sort of things, it's not about how rich your land is or how or how many natural resources you have, or how skilled your artisans and workers are in your country.
Amen.
It's about the spiritual condition of the people that make it. And Thomas Jefferson in 1781, I ran across a quote from him, and it just really, I don't know, it harmonized with what I was thinking, and I'd like to read it. It says, quote, "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." You know, end quote. I mean, wow. You know, I mean, there you have it from one of the founders, you know, that our liberties weren't given to us by the Constitution. They were a gift from God. They're
Amen.
Inherent in our creation, in our creature. You know, and I think that it's significant that they changed the wording from life, liberty, and the pursuit of property to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because happiness is a vague thing. But they want all your property. They want to take it away from you. They want to redistribute it. They want to give it to everyone else, especially themselves. And we see that going on around us all over the place, you know, everything from these things that are going on, and the destruction of anyone who is a nationalist. If you don't have a strong nation, you can't help anyone else. You can't help yourself, you know. I mean, we've seen that from the beginning of the Bible. We see that from history. We
Amen.
See that, you know, when that foundation is yanked out from under you, you become a vagabond. You become a person without a home, well, the Bible said Christ had no place to lay his head. The reason for that was the nation of Israel in the Bible was in bondage at the time. They were, you know, they were scattered abroad, you know, and when we see those sort of things, we need to understand that nationalism isn't a dirty word.
Amen.
It's a godly word. I mean,
you know, Tim, I think
the Bible talks about it.
You're absolutely right on that, and I think our president understands that as well. And you know, one of the first things that came out of his administration that he was pushing was America first. America first. You want to help Venezuela? America first. You want to? We want to trade with China? Fine, but America first. And you know, the left and the destroyers and the media, they attack that, and that's what they accused him. Oh, he's a Nazi. He's a nationalist. And they threw all these words out, but you know what it did do is it resonated with the people, and the people understood. The people still have, I think, for the most part, well, they have that law of God written on their heart. It's just buried deep for many of them and covered over. But they understood that, yeah, they love their neighbor, and they don't have a problem helping out even other countries. And looking at them as their neighbor, but they realized, I think, for a large part, that listen, I've got to take care of my family first. We, you know, if I don't have a job, a good paying job, then I can't take care of my family, and as a result, I can't take care of, and you can fill in the blank, the illegal aliens, the other countries, those that are less fortunate. And so it seems like that nationalism that our president has kind of, I don't want to say inadvertently, that's not the right word, but that he has almost, well, he has put it out. You know, make America great again. America first. We don't have a problem trading with other people, but we're gonna make sure that it's good for the U.S., that it's good for American workers and for American people first. And that, you know, the media and the left, again, and the destroyers, they try to portray that as bad, because to them it is bad. But I think the majority of the American people, it resonated with, it hit home. And I think it's been part of that awakening, part of that different spirit in the land that we've talked about. And you look, here we are 3 years into it. What have they done? The NASDAQ hit 9,000. I don't think it's ever done that before. The sales record for this holiday season has set records. You don't see the mass. There's been some brawls in the malls, you might say, but setting sales records. The economy is up. U.S. companies are coming back to the United States because of corporate tax cuts, and that means more jobs here in the States and an improved economy here. So we are seeing that. And on the positives, what are we seeing on the other side? The enemy still hates our president. He still has enemies in the establishment, you might say, those that that have been in Congress for 40 years, that have lived off the greed and the theft and the debauchery that the government has become, and we see that. Back on the good side, did you see the president's? I forget what it was. I don't know if it was the Christmas address but the latest address. But he's calling that the nation needs to be following the teachings and the principles of Jesus Christ, and that was just recently, and so again, it's a different spirit. Tim, I think it all ties in, just like hearing Jesus Christ mentioned on secular radio, from the local hardware store, or the ads that are on there, to talking about this spiritual condition of the people. That I love that quote from Thomas Jefferson. To the president calling for that, it's almost like a full circle in areas. It made me think of that public law 97-280 that we've sent thousands of them out, still sending, getting orders to send that out. People that are getting them are passing them out, are taking them to the American Legion. They're taking them to the Boy Scout groups. They're taking them to church groups and getting them passed out, saying, "Hey, did you know about this? The government said the Bible is the Word of God, and we should study it." And then again, we hear our president say the same thing. It seems to me that there is this type of awakening going on. Coming out of this deep sleep, out of this spell that our people have been in for so long.
Well, yeah. Well, we talk about them, things like we see these socialists, and they want to talk about how they're socialists now, how they're going to give everybody, it's real easy to spot a socialist in the real world. They want to give everything away free. They don't give anything out of their pocket. And we used to have a flyer from Davy Crockett, I think, talking about handing out free money.
Yes.
Haven't seen one for a long time, but it was an interesting thing, and it identified basically what a socialist was. I mean, they're the ones who they wouldn't give you one dime out of their pocket, but they got no problem with reaching in someone else's pocket and giving you their money. And we see that going on today everywhere. They vote the largesse out of someone else's pocket with no thought. They're worth millions. Some of them, multiple millions, but they wouldn't give one dime of their money for that, but they have no hesitancy at all to spend your money or spend someone else's money and enslave them or destroy their home. That's one of the major differences between those people when that goes on. That's how you can spot them. What should we do about it? No, it's what should you do about it? I'm going to make you do it if I can. I'm not going to do anything. And I think that we see them, one of the things they've got to do is kick the teeth out of everybody in order to not allow that to make them mundane so that they can control them. And we see them doing this on multiple fronts. We see the gun control issues, which is a major one. And we see them vaccinating people to death, literally, and creating, we see fluoride in the water, we see all these things, and I honestly believe that the angels of God run around and take care of us, because I think they shake their heads at all the attacks, all the fronts that they've attacked us on. And, you know, they attack the church. One of the things California has just recently passed was a measure pushing pastors to embrace LGBT ideology. I mean, they're basically trying to pass a law which, if it's against God's law, then it's moot. But they want to pass a resolution telling pastors to affirm homosexuality, even if it's in violation of their biblical beliefs. You know, they want to talk to them about what they should preach. And we've got some members of the National Association of Evangelicals who are jumping in bed with these guys. You know, this measure just passed recently. We've got Dr. Kevin Manoia, Azusa Pacific University chaplain and the former head of the National Association of Evangelicals. He's in there pushing this thing. You know, and when we see those kind of things, I'm reminded of the Lord speaking on the shepherds tearing the flock and abusing the flock and those sort of things. It's not going to stand. And like Thomas Jefferson said, God's not asleep. You know, sooner or later that wrath will come. You know, I mean, it's not a you know, His justice won't sleep forever.
Amen.
And, it'll be stored up in full. Revelation talks about the cup being filled to the brim, you know, with their abominations and their wickedness and all those. And when it's poured out, wow, I'm sure glad I know what side I'm on. So,
amen to that.
It's one of those things when we see it.
Amen. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call in to the program is Coffee with the Wranglers, and still got a little coffee left in the cup, and we have our Bibles, and saw one other thing in the headline that it was up before, and it seems like it's popped its head up again. Just saw a quick headline this morning about the talk of designating the Mexican drug cartels as terrorist organizations. You know, in light of the ongoing, it has been for years, but it seems like it just grows more and more and worse every year. The killings and the terror that is going on in Mexico. Saw about a week before, about the second week of December, I guess, a notice. And it was a travel advisory warning Americans not to travel to Mexico, all of Mexico. You know, those travel advisories, by the time they come out, it's usually pretty tough. It's usually pretty bad. But it was basically that, you know, hey, we can't guarantee your safety. Not that it's guaranteed anywhere, but the government tries to. But that was, you know, middle of December. Didn't see a whole lot of it. Saw a couple little blurbs, and that was it. Because you think about the, you know, how does that impact the merchants, the travel groups and the cruise lines and the airlines and here as well as the, you know, the huge amount of tourism that that Mexico relies on for their economy. And that is dwindling fast, and so, you know, who knows whether the government is going to do that or not. I doubt that they will, because it would be effective, or it could be effective in stemming some of that down there. But we I think it just highlights part of the mess that the world is in. You know, the people just trying to say, "Hey, God, we got this. We'll take care of this," and it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's stuff. I mean, it's stuff going on all over the world. And I mean, I saw something that came out earlier this week and had to make me laugh. You know, it said, so you're from Portland. I'm sorry. You know, you look at what's happened in Portland and how, you know, disgusting of a city that has become over the last, you know, several years. You know, Portland has its issues. Seattle right now, Seattle just came back and they sent a thing home with a notice to parents by Seattle Public Schools that warns that thousands of students could be banned from returning to school after Christmas break if they are not up to date on their vaccinations. You know, the vaccination thing is getting harder and harder to get away from. The school district notice read, students' records must reflect updated immunization status by January 8, 2020, or students cannot attend school until the required information is provided to the school nurse. Personal or philosophical exemptions for MMR vaccines were eliminated by state lawmakers in May of 2019. The MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine is the main immunization the school district is focusing on before allowing students to return to class. You know, so, I mean, I think that, and so far, from what it looks like, there's a lot of students that won't be returning to class after, January 8th.
That's a good thing, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No more political indoctrination in the in the re-education system. Wow. So, yeah, it's amazing. There's been a lot of talk about that, especially here just lately. I know they just had a big vaccine fail down in Texas. A Texas school ended up closing early for its winter break, or we used to call it Christmas break or Thanksgiving and Christmas break, but now they just call it winter break because I suppose that's more, you know, correct according to the Antichrist. But it is interesting that school closed because of a whooping cough outbreak in it, and they had 100% vaccination rate in that school for whooping cough.
Yes.
There was nobody there that wasn't vaccinated against it, but they still had to close the school because of it. So, I mean, this is an in-your-face example of failure of these vaccines. So, I think it's, it should occur to people that there's some other reason that there's vaccine. I mean, to me, it's a multi-pronged thing, but I see one of the things I see with that is you've got these children in school, and one of the things they're being taught is that what you think or what you want doesn't matter because if they say something like that, you've got to do it. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether it's your body or your food or your money or anything else. I said the same thing years ago when they came out with the child seat requirements and laws. You know, I mean, there's plenty of parents whose children are, you can look at Walmart or any place you go, they're the most disobedient little brats you ever seen. And, you know, they carry on, they scream, they throw fits and everything else. But by golly, they can sit in a child seat in the back seat. I mean, mom and dad can make them do that. That's all right, you know. So, and I'm not talking necessarily so much about whether they're effective or not effective. That point is immaterial for what I'm trying to, you know, get across. It's more about it. It's a training. It's an example to that child of who's your God? Who will you sacrifice to? Who will you donate to? Pastor used to say there's no vacuum, and you will sacrifice to your God, and it doesn't matter what God you serve, you'll sacrifice to him. And I think if we look at it with that understanding about us today, we see the result of that all about us as far as who people will sacrifice to and what they'll sacrifice to, and it helps you identify the gods, I mean, that go around. But there's plenty of common sense examples around that show that stuff doesn't work. And so if it doesn't work, what's the point of doing it? There's something else there, it would seem.
Amen.
Yeah, would agree.
Amen. Yeah. It certainly is. And let's go to the, Jade, let's go to the phone lines real quick. We've got a caller. We'll take a caller real quick. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Good morning, guys. Joe here in Pennsylvania.
Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, just listening to you there, talking about things, and you brought up the Mexican drug gangs and how they are terrorists now.
Sure they are.
They just come in and kill, and it's all for the love of money. And that puts to rest the old saw that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, that's a lie. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and power does not corrupt. It's the love of money that corrupts. And if you have any sort of power, your power increases as your love of money increases. And if you are predisposed to lay aside your moral compass and become a harlot to the to filthy lucre, then you generally, I mean, that's how that in the halls of power, they look for people that do that. I mean, even in the police department, they look for people who are more or less ruthless, and those are the ones that are tapped for, say, for instance, going over to Israel and getting trained in special weapons and tactics by the Mossad and their police forces. And they come back here pretty much tool of the Zionist wing. But anyway, the Constitution is a very interesting document. I've always had one or two copies around. Article 1, Section 8 outlines the powers of Congress. And the first paragraph says, in part, the Congress shall have the power. And that first phrase is expanded down line by line. And if you go down and you read, it's about a dozen lines down further, it says, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on high seas and offenses against the law of nations. Now, none of this stuff has been rescinded, by the way. It's still on the books. And the next line says, to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. Why don't we put our able-bodied men who come home from foreign wars, why don't we grant them letters of marque, give them a job, and send them down there to hunt down. I mean, we got the technology to do it. I used to read books written by Navy SEALs and things, and the stories that they tell that they used to do ever since Nam. You know, they would go into the bush and basically swim these squads of SEAL teams. They would send six guys in there and it just caused all kinds of heck to the enemy. And that's one of the reasons why M16, even though it was an inferior weapon at that point in time, it fired around that the Viet Cong used to, they would shriek in horror and turn and run the other way. Because the bullet would boat tail like a son of a gun, and it would tear everything up that it ever hit, and they were scared to death of that gun. And, but anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I think that is so important. It says Congress shall have the power to grant letters of marque and reprisal and make rules concerning captures on land and water. It's plain. I mean, a fourth grader can understand that.
Well, Joe, I think the reason it's not done is because it would work. It's effective. You know, just like the border. You know, it benefits many people. Many people want this nation invaded. They are the destroyers our pastor taught about. They are not the builders of civilization that that when Tim mentioned the quote from Thomas Jefferson, the conviction that liberty is a gift of God. They are not like that. They are the destroyers, and so it benefits them to have the stealing, killing, and destroying going on right next door because they know it bleeds over here. And it causes many others to flee into this nation. And it would work. Certainly it would work. But by that very reason is why those that are in power will not do it. Just like a border. You know, we've seen demilitarized zones between North and South Korea. That border is very effective. Now, do we want that, something like that right here? Well, some people do, but apparently those that are making the rules don't. And so it certainly would work, but it doesn't. Well, okay. Joe, thanks for the call.
All right, then.
Okay.
You guys have a blessed day.
You too.
Better one tomorrow.
All right. God bless. You know, Remnant, Joe talked about that Constitution. We carry, we don't advertise it a lot, but we carry a pocket Constitution, and the Bill of Rights fits in your pocket. That's why it's called a pocket Constitution. But if you don't have it, you can contact us and send a donation in. We'll be glad to get that to you. It's not full size. It's something not going to take a lot of room on your bookshelf, but it is something you can take a look at. If you don't have one, you should. We certainly don't worship that document, but it is one of the founding documents. And when you read through it, you should be able to see, again, Tim, like the quote you gave from Jefferson. It does. It is based on the two greatest commandments: loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. See, that mutual respect is an underlying, and you can see it throughout the founding documents. It is what is needed for the documents to work. We've heard those quotes that Constitution will only work for a religious, meaning a Christian and moral people, because it is guidelines. It is guidelines to prevent a government from overtaking and from it talks about the division of powers between the judicial and the whatever the other branches of government are, but you can see through it that it is for a Christian and moral people, and it only works for those. It does. Well, guys, before we get out of time, you guys mentioned a little bit about some drones before the program, and I was hoping you had some information on that we could talk about, or that you guys could talk about, because I had not heard about it. About some, what was it, some large amount of drones or herds or something like that? I'll turn that over to you guys.
Jason, you've got more info on it than I do. I mean...
Recently there was a night drone flights in southern Colorado, and it just was one of those things that's become a mystery. Basically, they've contacted the FAA, they've contacted the Sheriff's Department, they've contacted the Army, they've contacted basically every law enforcement agency that they can think of, and trying to figure out where the heck these drones are coming from. These drones are 6 to 8 feet in diameter, and they're flying a formation. There's, anywhere from 6 of them to 10 of them. The sheriff has actually even personally witnessed it down there. They're flying grid patterns. They're saying that, based on the size and the cost that these drones cost, it's not somebody that's just out having a good time and a hobbyist. But they don't know who's launching them and who's in control of them and what they're doing. It's been over Phillips and Yuma County so far is where the original reports were reported. And people just, everybody said the same thing, that they were flying formation and they would fly a square grid, and they were, it was about a mile squares, and they would fly and then they would turn, and it was square blocks that they were flying, and they would go on to the next one and the next one and the next one. And they were traveling 30, 40 miles an hour, about 300 feet over the surface. And nobody has any idea. I mean, these, you're talking drones that are costing. I mean, these drones have got, I mean, there's just an insane amount of money involved in these. If they're that size and that many of them, and they're flying a formation and they're staying up there for extended periods of time, they are, they're something that's, you know, state of the art and very expensive. Nobody has been able to figure out what they're doing, where they're coming from. I interviewed somebody that was here in Colorado that was just south of me a couple of miles, and they witnessed the same thing. They said at first they thought it was one gigantic drone, and then they realized that it was quite a few smaller drones, and it did the same thing. It was flying a grid pattern, and it would just go, and it was it was headed south, and then, you know, from south it would head directly west, and it went west, and then it turned directly north, and it just was flying a grid pattern. And it's kind of interesting. Don't know what, who's behind it. Haven't been able to figure out. Basically, so far, every government agency and every law enforcement agency that has been contacted, it is denied to have any knowledge of it or know anything about it. One other thing that's been interesting is China's been hacking a lot of the U.S. drones that that our sheriff's department, fire departments, governments have been using, government agencies, surveillance drones, all that kind of things. We're using a lot of China technology in our drones, and they've been hacking everything and taking all the raw footage and sending it back to China. And there's been an epidemic of that going on lately. So, I mean, basically they're spying on us. They're trying to figure out how to lock it down so that this information doesn't get leaked. Because a lot of this stuff that they're using is classified information. It's what they're stealing. So that's been going on quite a bit lately. And they're trying to work on remedying that. And so far haven't been able to close the gap. They're saying that, you know, these drones are so beneficial, and sheriff's departments are using, fire departments are using them. I mean, the fire department, some of these rural fire departments are using them. It's, you know, the cost on these drones, the cost just continues on a daily basis. Basically, they come down in price, and the technology gets better and better. It's one of those interesting, who only knows what's going to become of that. You know, it just, it just seems like it's an evolving weapon of warfare.
It's interesting because, like so many of those things, technology-wise especially, there's such a capacity there for great good, whether it's fire spotting or anything else, but there's also an even greater capacity for you know, immoral evil in those things. I mean, they can use them to, like you said, target areas and do things like that. It's really an interesting thing when we see that, and the fact that they're made overseas. There's a lot of people that really don't understand a lot of this new technology, isn't there? I mean, when you think about it, you know, they can put back doors and chips. They can do programming hacks and stuff that allow them in afterwards, and they're not even able to catch them until they're activated, you know. So leaves you with a little bit of concern.
Amen. That was, you know, that was at the head of this this new U.S.-China trade war that's going on, and things that our president again has brought to light. This you know, China's big telecom giant Huawei, I think is how you pronounce it, Huawei. They have been leading the world in all this new 5G technology. And so, you know, all the promises of this new 5G coming out, you know, faster download speeds and autonomous cars can speak to one another and all this, it's China that's been leading that. And even our president said, hey, I like 5G. Let's go 5G. Let's go 6G. What, you know, he wants to continue with it. But, you know, they were part of that export and import blacklist that came up this past year, because it was like, wait a minute, for that very reason, over national security allegations that, hey, wait a minute, China's making all these chips. China's making all these computers. China's pushing all this 5G. They're doing all these drones, and they have access to all of it. It's not just like a private company out there, like maybe Verizon or Sprint. It's not. This big group, Huawei or whatever from China, they are, you might, I don't want to say behind it all, but they're neck deep in it. And they are. It has become a national security issue. On the national level as well as the local level. And, you know, previous administrations set this up, promoted it, enabled this to happen. And you know, now it's up, you might say it's up to us to combat it, to fix it. Well, guys, we are out of time. Where'd that hour go? We if we had more coffee, maybe we could stay a second hour, but my cup's empty. We do want to thank the Remnant for joining us this morning, and we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can do that starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central and 10:30 Eastern. And you can join us at church at scripturesforamerica.org. And you can click on the live video stream, and we'll have a little bit of everything for you. We sure do our best to bring a good church service that honors God and encourages you. And so we do ask you to come and join us. Last church service of calendar year 2019, and we'll be moving into calendar year 2020 just midweek. And so we do ask you to maybe wrap this calendar year up on a positive note and join us for church. Well, men, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha!
Ha! Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.